your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
Can't get over this beautiful Wednesday evening. Best Wednesday we've had in a long time. Michael Cohen, producer James Platy, this is 1320 WILS. Well, whether it's overdoses or prescriptions or even babies born addicted, it's becoming clear that the rate of opiate use in the U.S. is spiking in ways that medical professionals are very concerned about. But what is the solution to a complex problem that ultimately comes down to something that we may all have to deal with at some point, which is chronic pain? To talk about that, I'm joined by Dr. Nathaniel Katz, president and CEO of Analgesic Solutions. He's been providing expert services in the area of pain management and analgesics for nearly 20 years. Dr. Katz, thanks for joining us this evening.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I remember I first heard of these reports of people coming to emergency rooms with toothaches, and I thought, wow, these poor folks have no health insurance. But as it turns out, many times it's now a way to get a painkiller prescription. How much of a problem is this trend becoming now?
Well, certainly the problems that emergency room doctors face in deciding when somebody with pain is simply drug-seeking, whether they have a legitimate problem, has been going on for a long time, and it goes beyond just toothaches. Toothaches is one thing, but we have back strains, and kidney stones, and headaches, and there are all sorts of pain problems where it puts the emergency room doctor in a difficult position to know what's going on.
I guess what really reflects how advanced or maybe not advanced we are in our ability to identify pain is that, you know, in the hospital, you have these charts with these funny faces asking you how much pain you're in a scale from 1 to 10. Is that basically what we have to work with here?
Well, it's that plus a few other things, but you're absolutely right in that the 0 to 10 scale, the first group of people to figure out how to use the 0 to 10 scale were the drug seekers who would now know to come in and say their pain was an 8 or a 9 and doesn't respond to other drugs. So unfortunately, it's not like a thermometer that you can put somebody in and know how much pain they have. Our methods are still fairly primitive and require a lot of clinical judgment.
When it comes to helping a patient, it seems that pain is one of the most difficult things to accurately address since it can be so incredibly subjective. How often does a doctor just have to take the patient's word that they're in pain and they need a painkiller?
You always have to take the patient's word that they're in pain and they need a painkiller. But then in addition to that, what you need to do is to see whether there are any signs of a drug abuse as well. And if there are signs of drug abuse, then you can treat that problem whether or not the patient has pain. And there are some tools that physicians can use, but unfortunately don't use very much, that could be extremely helpful in sorting out this problem and telling you when it's safe to prescribe one of these potentially addictive or lethal medications and when it's not safe. For example, we now know that doing urine drug monitoring, just as is normally done in the treatment of addiction, should be part of normal practice in prescribing opiates for pain, but yet we know also that doctors don't really utilize that very simple test as often as they should. Similarly, we know that we can, in many states, check the prescription monitoring program to see if the patient coming to me for an opiate for pain has also been getting the same medication from multiple other doctors or filling it at multiple pharmacies. This is now widely available, but yet it's still seldom used, unfortunately.
It's the idea of doing urine tests, that seems like a very simple one, just to confirm if they're already on a painkiller. So tell me, how powerful, can you give me a sense of just how powerful these new painkillers like OxyContin are from someone whose perspective is that maybe I take 3 or 4 Advil on a rare occasion when I have a serious headache?
Right. Well, it really depends upon the dose. All of these medications are more or less equally powerful. It just depends on how much you take or how much is in the pill. So, for example, the most commonly prescribed of all of these medications, Vicodin is a single tablet of Vicodin is a relatively mild medication, or a single tablet of codeine, or, you know, low doses like that. Some of the newer medications, though, and by newer I mean that have come out in the last 10 or 15 years, are more and more powerful to help deal with the intense pain that patients with cancer or even certain kinds of non-cancer pain can suffer from. And many of those medications can have 10 or 15 or 20 times the amount of medication in a single dose as is held in one of the smaller dosage units. And so the emergency room doctors have a list of medications where a single dose can kill you, and some of these newer opiate medications are now on that list where If you're not used to it, a single dose can actually kill you.
I'm talking to Dr. Nathaniel Katz, President and CEO of Analgesic Solutions. He's worked with in the field of pain management for nearly 20 years. It's interesting because I guess in the history of medicine, there was a long period of time where pain was not addressed, maybe at all. Would you say we're maybe going too far now? We're maybe addressing pain a little too aggressively?
It's very, very important to distinguish in your mind between aggressive treatment of pain and aggressive prescribing of opiates, because we have many treatments for pain other than opiates, and we know that pain itself is an epidemic in this country, costs the society a lot of money, costs employers a lot of money, causes a lot of suffering, and that should be treated aggressively with all the tools in our disposal. But that doesn't mean that we have to prescribe opiates in every case. Opiates are also an extremely useful tool, but need to be used very carefully as part of an overall approach to the treatment of the chronic pain patient.
For someone who's listening right now that is suffering some very serious back pain, and they don't want to begin taking a painkiller, or they know they can take some, maybe some Tylenol, and they've taken that for a while, they want to kind of cut back, what would you say is the primary way to start walking away from this approach of using a painkiller to resolve their pain?
Well, you kind of said it in your own words when you said walking away, because the walking and other forms of exercise is a primary way of dealing with various kinds of chronic pain. So I would say that you should go to either your doctor or go to a good pain management center. There are physical therapy and other kinds of exercise-based approaches that are very helpful. Various kinds of psychological treatments like cognitive behavioral therapy and self-hypnosis and things like that can also be very helpful in using the power of your own mind to reduce pain. There are non-opiate medications that can be used. There's acupuncture and other complementary therapies. There are injections that you can try. So there are actually a whole bevy of treatments for chronic pain that can be used aside from opiate pain medications.
In the 20 years that you've been actively involved in the pain management field, how has it changed? And just give me a sense of just how much of a wave of overuse, perhaps, of opiates we're now going through.
Well, it's really changed very dramatically, even in my own short career. When I first got into the pain management field in the late 80s and early 90s, pain management really mostly consisted of rehabilitative strategies and psychological strategies and focused mainly on getting people off excessive medications. And there's certainly a lot of evidence that those kind of approaches can work. And then I would say over the last 20 years, the approach became much more oriented towards medications for a lot of different reasons, not just because the medications are available now, but because insurance companies are more quick to pay for medications than they are for some of these other approaches, and it's easier for doctors to write prescriptions, and you've only got 10 minutes to see a patient. That tends to be an easy thing to do, so there are a lot of reasons for this, and what I hope will come out of all this, since plenty of people have sacrificed themselves on the altar of better pain management, is that maybe the pendulum will swing a little bit back towards the middle, where physicians can feel supported in providing both medication treatments and non-medication treatments, depending upon what's right in the situation.
And how intense are these withdrawal symptoms that someone that's been on a serious painkiller, on a prescription painkiller, let's say for several years, how serious of a project is that to wean themselves off?
It's usually not that much of a problem if you do it under good medical supervision. If you stop cold turkey, of course, then that can be a big problem, although even that is very rarely medically dangerous, but nobody wants to do that to folks. However, if you just taper the medication off gradually over a period of a few weeks or a month or two, then it's rarely a problem.
One last thing. Do you view the issue of using painkillers in the U.S. as an epidemic? Are you alarmed, worried, and frightened about the future of painkiller use here in the U.S.?
Oh, it's an enormous public health crisis. In Massachusetts, where I live, we have 2 people per day dying of prescription opiate overdoses, and around the country, it's about 40 people per day altogether. You know, imagine if you had an airplane crash every day killing 40 people and nobody really doing anything about it. That's the situation that we're in. And even that is only the tip of the iceberg, where for every, you know, fatal overdose, you've got, you know, many non-fatal overdoses and emergency department visits and hundreds of thousands of visits for substance abuse treatment. So it really is a huge, huge problem, and we do need more action.
Dr. Nathaniel Katz, President and CEO of Analgesic Solutions. Dr. Katz, thank you again for joining us this evening.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And we will be right back. As always, our feedback email address is ccrecap@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Please send us some feedback. We're coming right back. 1320 WILS.